Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Welcome to Bois, King of the Hill podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Rusty.
Rusty, season five, what episode number do you have?
The episode number we're on is actually 13, but the production number is 5ABE15.
Yeah, that's what I have on my thing here.
Yeah, that's the production number.
So there is a bell and a yell.
There is a bell and a yell
at the beginning of this thing.
Yeah, there is.
So it makes me think that maybe this was a, I don't know what was happening here. Maybe the Super Bowl or maybe something, you know, maybe it was some sort of special episode or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know, because our experience so far has only been like, you know, end of the season, first of the season, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And right now we're only, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes away from the season finale.
Yeah.
And the production order for the last, like, four was
really messed up.
Really messed up, because it was the last four are 5ABE10, 5ABE6, 5ABE12, and then 14, then 15. So the last two were in sequential order, but everything else is out of whack. Like, this whole season is out of whack.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really weird. However, this is a fantastic episode.
Yeah, it is. I like this episode. This episode is hilarious because I don't know who got Snoop Dogg to agree to play a white pimp.
A white pimp, yeah.
So I thought it was funny that it was a white pimp.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, for all the political correctness in the world, you know what I mean? And then Snoop Dogg ends up just playing a white guy. So I don't think it was quite the same.
No.
Which I think it's funny that his name is Alabaster, too, which Alabaster is white, yeah.
All right, so we're starting off at Strickland Propane. Hank is on the phone in his office, and he's, "Sir, I am very sorry. We shorted you on the propane delivery." Peggy kind of sticks her head in the office. He continues, "Even though this was a new gal's mistake, I'll be noting it on my own record as well." That is so Hank of himself to turn himself into himself.
Yeah.
He goes, "I'll be right out there." He hangs up the phone. Peggy's like, "Hank, let's go to lunch. I've been craving cheese all morning."
You don't crave cheese?
It's just a weird thing to say to your husband.
I always crave cheese.
Oh, there's I eat a lot of cheese, but I'm just saying.
There's a cheese shop that I deliver wine to in Dallas called Scardello's. Shout out to Scardello's.
Okay.
Every time I go in there, I always ask the attendant or the clerk or whatever, give me your favorite cheese.
Yeah.
Like, I want to, like, because they do free samples, of course.
Well, it's almost like a sommelier or something for cheese.
Yeah, so I always buy a quarter pound of whatever really good cheese
he
gives me.
What was the last one you got?
The last one I got was it's a Swiss Gruyere, which is usually a French cheese, but it's made on the French Swiss Alps, is where this cheese comes from regionally.
Stinky?
And no, it's not. It wouldn't. It doesn't really stink, but it was good. It was really good.
I like a good stinky cheese.
It was a Swiss Gruyere.
I like a good stinky cheese, but I'm not big on Swiss. for some reason. I don't know why. So she says, Hank, I've been craving cheese all morning. He says, sorry, I can't take you to lunch today. That new gal Buck hired, well, long story short, she's dumb as a charcoal briquette. In comes Tammy, T-A-M-M-I.
Yep.
Big old hair.
Peg Bundy.
Big old everything.
Yeah. Already called it the Peg Bundy hair.
Yeah, very much so. Tattoos, boobs are about falling out, wearing a wife beater, the whole thing, right? Yeah. Stereotypical what you would think a hooker would look like.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of voices in this one, too.
Yeah, who is she?
So Tammy is Tammy is Renee Zellweger.
Oh.
Alabaster Jones, obviously Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
But then you've got Lane Prattley, who's done by a guy named Dave Thomas. Mm-hmm. Miles Burton, who's David Herman, which David Herman and Stephen Root do a lot. Donald is Stephen Root.
Yeah.
Kevin Stroop usually was Mary Tyler Moore, but it's Ashley Gardner, who Ashley Gardner is the one that goes on to do that other show or whatever that's kind of in the King of the Hill universe. She's the creator of the other show.
About
the Megalomart or whatever, the Hearts. That's
Bless
what it's
your
called.
Hearts.
Bless Your Heart, whatever it's called. And Johnny Hardwick does the voice of Mike Soto in the episode.
Okay. So
it's like all over the board with voice. There's like a lot of voices in this episode.
Let me, while you're talking about that, I ran across, and you guys all probably know this exists. I did not know it exists. There's a King of the Hill documentary that was done by Fox back in like 2009.
Yeah, something like that. It was around the end of the show.
Or 2003, maybe. Because it's in the old school frame. It's not 1920 by 1080.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we ought to cover that somehow.
Yeah, we should.
If nothing else on a Friday or something, because it's got a lot of cool stuff in it.
Did you find a version of it?
Okay. I got them all, and I got them all downloaded. That and a couple of other things.
Yeah, just shoot them to me, and we could do that next week.
I think we could do that for next Friday. I think it might be kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. So in comes Tammy. Yo, dude, I might have messed something up. Number one, she calls him dude.
Yeah, yo, dude.
Yo, dude, I might have messed something up. This dude called and he was talking so fast, propane this, something, gas that. I was like, dang, I'm such a spaz. Hank pipes up and says, Tammy, this is my wife, Peggy. Peggy, this is our new customer service associate, Tammy. Peggy looks at her and she goes, you look a lot like that last girl Buck hired. Of course, she's dead now.
Yeah, referring to... Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie. Yeah. Hank says, well, we'll have lunch another time, maybe tonight. Well, that makes no sense, Hank, but all right. He puts on his jacket and he leaves. Tammy says, if you got no one else to have lunch with, I'll go with you. Peggy looks stunned. Like,
yeah.
She just like.
I'm surprised that she even takes her up on it, honestly.
And then Tammy says, only if you want to. Peggy says, no, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I need to do. And then she sits there and thinks. She goes, well, shall we? Tammy says, I'll get my hairspray.
That's funny.
So they take off. Now, I don't understand this part. You can explain this to me.
Okay.
They go to a restaurant called Magic Pan.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming, I didn't really know what Magic Pan was. But then when you go inside, they're both reading menus, and the menus say Le Crepe. So it's obviously a crepe restaurant.
Yeah, the Magic Pan would be, I imagine it would be like a pancake house.
But wouldn't
right?
you think that it would be called the Magic Pan on the menus? I mean, that's just weird.
It should be.
It was two different things.
It's also the same place that Miss Liz took Hank to lunch, according to Artie's notes here in the episode Hanky Panky, season 4, episode 13. It was.
They went to the Magic Pan?
They went to the Magic Pan.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Tammy, looking at the menu, she's obviously flummoxed a little bit. She goes, what do you order here? The menu is totally whack. Peggy says, personally, I like the La Crepe Suzette. I mean, of course, she just bends it crazy French, right?
Yeah.
Get out. You talk French? She goes, actually, I'm a substitute Espanol teacher. She goes, that is so slamming. And then Peggy says, well, when you think about it, I suppose it is slamming. Okay, Peggy, calm down. Tammy says, your parents must be psyched. Peggy said, no, I could be queen of Egypt. My mother wouldn't give a hoot. Tammy says, wow, I really know that trip. My mom and I haven't talked since I dropped out of school, or maybe it was when I totaled her vet. Peggy says, your mother drove, this is a great joke.
Yeah.
She goes, your mother drove a Corvette? She goes, Chevette. And then they both just laugh. And Peggy says, you would not have dropped out of school on Peggy Hill's watch. I make learning fun, incredibly fun. Tammy says, well, that's why I moved out of here from Oklahoma City, yo. I just wanted to start over, you know, maybe get my GED. Dang, I'm thirsty. Hey, Pierre. And then the waiter comes by. She slaps him on the ass. And she goes, how about a couple of Diet Cokes? And then and Peggy's like, Pierre? Well, look who's talking French now.
Yeah, yeah. Pierre, look who's talking French now.
Everything is overdone with this woman.
Yeah. Comment allez-vous?
Now we're at...
My mom's claim to fame in the French world is... she took a lot of French in school, but the only thing she can remember, I don't know how to say it, but I know the only phrase that she knows how to say in French is, it's either shut the window or shut the door, you fat cow. That's all she
knows
how to say.
Okay, I love that. That's kind of good.
It's one of the two. It's the window or the door. But
we're back at the Hill House. It's nighttime. Everybody's around the supper table. So it's Hank, Peggy, Bobby, Luann, and Tammy. And they're getting stuff out of what looks like a giant Chinese food box, you know.
Yeah.
Peggy says, the Thai food was Tammy's idea. The notion of taking it out was mine. What the what do you want credit for? What do you want credit for? Luann, in I believe her only line, says, someday I'd like to travel to Therabelea and see those pyramids. I don't know what the hell she's talking. She thinks that's Thai, I guess.
I don't know.
She's saying Thai Arabia.
Yeah, Thai Arabia. Yeah, she's.
That's freaking crazy. Tammy says, so, Luann, you go to community college?
Not
that
the brightest.
Is awesome. I am totally impressed. I've never even finished a whole book. Peggy says, well, that's just because you've never had the right tutor. If Helen Keller can graduate from college, you can certainly get your GED. I don't believe Helen Keller graduated from college, but all right.
No, she did.
Did she?
Yeah, that's what she's famous for. That's the only reason why we know.
From college?
The only reason why we know who Helen Keller is because of all the achievements, and that was one of the things when she went through school, she managed to get a degree and all that kind of
stuff.
Well,
I take it back, Miss Keller. Peggy is like, yeah, if Helen Keller can graduate, then you can get your GED. I love the fact
that I don't want to interrupt you, but she became the first deaf blind person to earn a college degree. So that's what her that's what her claim to fame is. She got a Bachelor of Arts degree and cum laude at Radcliffe College. I have no clue where Radcliffe College is, but that was the college she graduated from was Radcliffe. And
it wasn't like surveying or anything like that, right?
No, Bachelor of Arts. It was just a regular, just a general arts degree, you know.
Sure.
But it was Radcliffe College of Harvard University. So it was like a satellite of Harvard that she went to. So that's pretty
also
cool.
Started by Daniel Radcliffe from
Harry Potter. Did you see what the one of the Harry Potter actresses came out and said? I think it was a lady who said Professor Sprout.
No.
She said that it's sad and depressing that so many adults still love Harry Potter. She said it's for kids. And Artie told us Radcliffe is the women's college through Harvard. Mm. It used to be the women's branch of Harvard until, guess, women got rights.
Okay. She goes, if Helen Keller can graduate from college, you can certainly get your GED. And I love how Tammy's like, my G freaking ED? She goes, your learning adventure begins tomorrow after work at your place. If you have cats, please vacuum. Tammy looks super nervous. She goes, my place? Actually, I kind of got kicked out of my apartment last night, so I'm living out of the car, but we can make it at Starbucks. And then her pager goes off.
Wow.
Yeah, beep, 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 beep. She goes, could I use phone in your bedroom? It's long distance, but I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
Peggy says, could you or can you? You may. Shut up. Shut up, Peggy.
Yeah, please, Peggy. Hank, we don't need none of that.
So Tammy goes off. She goes, Hank, we are not letting Tammy sleep in her car. Let's give her the den until she gets back on her feet. Hank, of course, is, nope, not my den. No way. Took me 2 years to get this one out of there, and he's pointing to Luann. I mean, just right in front of her.
Right in front of her.
Crazy. Peggy says, if Boomhauer got kicked out of his house, you would let him stay in the den. He says, yeah, but Boomhauer is a family friend. Plus, he's immaculate.
Yeah, but how could you compare some random woman that you just started work with from a high school friend?
Yeah,
like,
so
not even high school. They've got
lifelong.
They've been since they were, you know, kids.
Tammy comes back to the table, and Peggy says, Tammy, Hank and I just discussed it, and I insist that you stay with us until you find a new place. And Hank's like, what?
What? Yeah. Nobody insisted on anything.
She goes and hugs Peggy and everything, and she says, you guys are the raddest. She hugs Hank, and my God, he's very uncomfortable. Bobby.
As he generally is in those situations,
I believe in his only line says, this calls for a celebration. I'm staying up till 11.
Yeah.
All right, now we've got all four guys in Hank's driveway. They're spraying down the back of Hank's truck, and I wasn't really sure what was going on there until they really got into it. But he's got a hose, and he's out there spraying down the back of it. He's, my dad's taking the truck to a swap meet this weekend, so I'd better take the scratch and ding inventory now. A white car pulls up. It's just like a little Toyota Camry or something like that, and honks. From the sliding glass door, Tammy peeks out and says, hang on just a sec. Dale, being Dale, that Tammy's quite a dish. Frankly, though, I think my Nancy has a nicer can. Hank, do you think Nancy has a nicer can than Tammy's can? My wife's can vis-a-vis your wife's friend's can? Holy crap. Hank, stop it, Dale. It's bad enough I have to live with her now, running around the house in those miniskirts. This pager never stops beeping, and I've had it up to here with her coming in all hours of the night. Tammy comes out, and she's adjusting herself. She adjusts the seam in her hose, and then she goes up adjusting her boobs, and she looks at Hank and says, how do my girls look, Hank? And he says, I would not know.
I would not know how your girls look. Please don't ask me that again.
Turns the other way. Peggy.
I didn't know you had daughters. Yeah.
Peggy comes up in a big floppy straw hat for some reason, so I guess she was working in the yard or something. She says, well, where are you off to all jazzed up like that? Tammy says, I'm just going to go hang out with a friend. Again, shitty Peggy.
Shitty Peggy.
Another friend. I'm sorry. I thought I was your friend. she's like, who is this
That's
other
funny.
Friend? You can only have one friend.
Yeah.
Tammy says,
if you're Peggy's friend, you can only have one friend. And if it ain't Peggy, she's not your friend.
And she's not really your friend. Tammy says, he's an old bud from Oklahoma City, you know, passing through town on business. Peggy says, maybe your old bud would like to meet your new bud. And then Tammy says, yeah, definitely, definitely, next time. She walks over to the white car, and she leans in the window. And I just wrote down stereotypical hooker stance. You know, every time you see, like, those old pictures of prostitutes from the 70s or something in New York, they're always leaning in that one window and stuff.
Oh, yeah, when they lean over, it's like the extreme arch to where, like, their head has to go below their thighs or something. They're, like, extremely leaned
way
over.
Yeah, down there because of the big high heels and all that stuff.
The really, for me, it's the Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, sure.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
But all that came from a stereotype somewhere.
That's the first time I picked up a hooker was Grand Theft Auto 3. I was 11.
Sure, sure. Well, as all 11-year-olds should. the customer in the white car is speaking to Tammy, and he says, hey, long time no see. You still charging your Oklahoma City rate? She says, $100 a throw up front, like always. I know a place where we can park. So she ends up taking the cash and getting in the car. Hank says, boy, Peggy, I don't know. I'm beginning to suspect that Tammy is, well, a freeloader. And, I mean, that's probably a worse word to Hank than hooker.
I think so.
Freeloader, communist.
I think
those kind of things.
I think he would, in a different world, maybe he would appreciate the work ethic. He doesn't really like the morality of it, but he appreciates the work ethic.
Right, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Peggy says, "No, she is not. She. If there's one thing I know, Hank, it is people, and Tammy is good people. Peggy knows nothing about people." She knows
She knows very little, if anything at all, for sure.
So Tammy gets in the car. She takes the cash, then she gets in the car, and Dale and all everybody's just like, bye, see you, have a good date, or whatever.
Yeah, whatever's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and Tammy's in the car with a John. Everybody still thinks she's a freeloader, and that takes us to our first commercial. We'll take that, and we'll be right back.
Snack Attack is a podcast about the history of your favorite snacks, candies, and treats. Each 5-minute or less episode features the history of a great snack from around the world. We'll also visit what the status of the snack is today and give you a little knowledge to lord over your friend. Snack Attack is available anywhere you get your podcasts or at RogueMediaNetwork.com. Let's get snacking!
Step into the unexpected with Cultastic, or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying. A podcast where cult creation unfolds in the most unpredictable way. Join us on a unique journey into the world of theoretical cult formation. Unlike any other podcast, each episode of Cultastic is co-written in part using ChatGPT, and we let it decide our fate, good or bad. What makes Cultastic truly intriguing? We don't know what's coming each week. Together with our AI co-author, we'll discover and build this cult, one episode at a time, exploring various aspects of cult dynamics, leadership, and group psychology. Delve into themes of charisma, influence, and the power of group thinking. It's a blend of expert analysis, theoretical exploration, and the unforeseen twists of AI-generated ideas. Remember, Cultastic is an exercise in imagination and education where we weave a narrative one episode and one tenant at a time. Curious about where this journey will take us? Subscribe to Cultastic or How to Start a Cult without really trying on your favorite podcast platform or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's build this mission to save the people of Earth week by unpredictable week.
Okay, and we are back.
We're back.
Tammy has gotten to a car with a John. She took some cash. Everybody thinks she's just a freeloader. They're all just waving at her. Now we're at the Hill House. Hank is looking in the fridge. He looks kind of disgusted. He goes, "She took the best piece of ham. I was saving that for Lady Bird."
Yeah, that was funny to me. I like that.
He's just saying it to himself, yeah, too, which is crazy. Tammy comes in, and she goes, "Hey, everybody, I'm home." Peggy is there. She goes, "Oh, I thought you were going out with your other friend." She goes, "Oh, he was just in town for the hour."
He was just in town for the hour. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of naivete in this episode for sure. A lot of naive people.
Hank says, "Oh, that's odd. Why would he?" She stops and she goes, "Hank, before I forget, this is for you. It's $50. I mean, you guys have been so amazing to me." She just hands cash to Hank.
Hands it to Hank. Which, the Mac Daddy, I mean, of Ireland.
For her, it's very, I mean, it's honestly, it's the only way she knows to give back to these folks, you know, that are being so kind to her.
Nah, for sure. And I think it's funny that Hank's now that she has handed money to Hank, Hank is now the
it's a whole
the
different
pimp.
Thing. Yeah.
Hank is now the pimp.
She hands it to Hank, and she goes, "It's the least I can do, you know, for using your phone and chowing your food." She walks off, and Peggy, without even looking at Hank, says, "That makes a score Peggy Hill 1 and people who doubt Peggy Hill 0.
Yeah.
God, what a turd. All right, so we're at Strickland. Buck, being the creepazoid he is, he's standing behind Tammy, making her change the trays on the copier so he can look at her butt. And he goes, "Yeah, that bottom paper tray needs to be filled." She goes, "It's full." He goes, "Well, top it off." I mean, just the grossest way you can possibly say it. "Well, top it off." He goes, "You know, Tammy, I run a private propane tutorial retreat up at my lake house." What the?
I don't know.
If you got a thirst for knowledge and margaritas, I'm free this weekend. Hank is on the outside of this room, and he kind of overhears it. Tammy, of course, says, "Thanks, Buck, but I'm pretty booked up for the weekend, most weekends, actually." And she leaves the room. And then Buck just goes, "Donna, get in here." So tell me the difference between Donna. Was it Donna and Debbie? Debbie's the one that's dead?
Debbie Grund is the one that died, okay. Yeah. Okay. Debbie Grund is the dead one. Donna is the perpetual assistant that's always there.
When he says Donna, I of course, thought of the other one. You know,
our fans probably hate me for this because I'm not as knowledgeable as even they are, but I'm pretty sure that Donna gets this episode where she gets fired or something, too. I could be wrong, but I think there's like a Donna-centric episode.
You're probably right about that. I think I remember something like that.
Okay.
But I bet they give you immediate feedback there.
Yeah, Donna came after Debbie. She's the new Debbie, so Donna was hired after Debbie. Yeah. But for some reason, I feel like there's a Donna episode. where something happens with Donna.
I feel like you're right, but I don't know for sure. All right, now we're at the Hale House.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. We got more information coming out.
Here it
there
comes.
Was two different Donnas.
Two Donnas.
One of the Donnas. One of the Donnas is the Donna who is the white lady that's walking up now.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Propaniacs, there was a black woman named Donna.
Oh, That's true. Forgot about that.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Y'all are better than I am at this. Why don't we just give you guys the microphones? I am terrible at this stuff and remembering these minutia. So, yeah, that's cool. I didn't remember. I didn't know that. I forgot that there was multiple Donnas. There might be multiple Debbies too, right?
There's also... No? It's a band called the Donnas.
Oh, the band the Donnas. Yeah, okay.
they had a song in Mean Girls.
I got it.
Okay, so now we're at the Hill House. Of course, they're in bed because we get that almost every episode
yeah.
now. Hank is just kind of reflecting on the day, and he's like, boy, I had her all wrong. It takes a lot of character to stand up to Buck when he turns on that charm. Peggy says, oh, Hank, Tammy's got more sense than to go after married man. No, she doesn't. Hank says, poor kid, she's probably very lonely, and it doesn't help that we're waving our happy marriage in her face all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't I introduce Tammy to some of those single guys on my route? Maybe she'll meet a nice fella to settle down with. Peggy says, she is going to make someone a great wife, but it's going to have to be someone who can hold her interest. Her dates never last more than an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder why.
It is so blatant. What's going on?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Chantel, we would love to have you as a guest.
Chantel!
I don't know if you want to do like a Friday episode where you just come and talk to us like general about King of the Hill, or you could pick an episode and join us on an episodic content if you want. That's up to you.
This is a song they had in Mean Girls.
Oh, okay. That's the Donnas
they
had a song?
They redid the Billy Idol song. Okay. So Hank, now Hank pulls up with a propane truck. You very rarely see Hank delivering propane.
Very rarely. You did see him in that one episode where, I don't know if we got that far yet, where the trucks, where they strike. Yeah, we did that. That was an early episode. So where they strike and then they haul the stuff back.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, he talks about his route and all that stuff. You never see him go out on his route.
Why would he?
Yeah. But yeah. You've got Hank.
I feel like he only has to do that
yes.
when there's not enough.
I agree.
Like when Joe Jack's on a bender.
Yeah.
I feel like Joe Jack is that employee that's eternal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he's if he calls in, I'm drunk. What, if he misses 3 days worth of work, no call, no show. Yeah. He's just the guy that they'll never get rid of.
He's such a good worker when he's there.
Yeah, it's like that thing. My dad had a friend like that. My dad worked in the monument industry for a long time, setting headstones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he had a buddy that was so good at sandblasting and cutting the stones. He was just really, really good at it that he never showed up on Mondays.
Mm.
He would always be so drunk from the weekend that he would never, like, he wouldn't wake up till like noon on Monday. And then he would show up for work Tuesday. And on Tuesday, he would do all the work for Monday and for Tuesday because he was just like, once he was there, he was the best guy there was.
Well,
but he had a really, really bad drinking problem.
The guy's dead now, but on his tombstone, it said, I did this.
Yeah.
That's all it said.
Actually, my dad's buddy actually passed away, and when they found him, he was butt naked in a ditch over there by Rosewood Cemetery.
If you're going to go butt
go
naked,
out butt
in,
naked
a ditch.
In a ditch.
That's right.
Yeah. Shout out to Jerry. That was his name. He was a good guy.
Shout out to Jerry who can't hear us because he's in hell.
Yeah.
Hank pulls up with the propane truck, and Tammy is in the other seat with him. He pulls up to Lane Prattley Cadillac Hyundai.
Lane Prattley, who used to be voiced by Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
But he's not in this episode.
He comes out and he goes, howdy, Hank. Well, who's this? Looking at Tammy. He goes, this is Tammy Duvall. She's new over at Strickland. Lane Prattley, a Prattley Cadillac Hyundai. And then Hank says, as in the owner. Like it's some big fucking deal.
Yeah.
She says, oh, cool, nice to meet you. I mean, like, she has no interest in this whatsoever.
Zero.
You know, although they start looking at each other and she just kind of gives him a little wink. And so he knows what's up. She knows what's up. I mean, that's just, you know.
Yeah.
Hank says, well, I'm going to go check the tank, so feel free to talk while I'm gone. Hank leaves and he's like, fine. So how long you been in town? Hank sticks his head back in the frame and he goes, I think I also better check the gaskets. Lane goes, that's fine. So how long you been in town? He's talking to Tammy, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to get in Tammy's pants. Now, we're at the mall, And we're at a very cleverly named bookstore, Page Turner's Books.
Okay.
P-A-I-G-E.
I like that.
It is. It's actually pretty good. Tammy says, dang, official GED practice test. Do you really think I can pass? I love this line from Peggy, even though she's a dumbass. Oh, please. People who haven't even graduated from high school can do this. Yeah, no shit, Peggy. That's what that is.
That's exactly what that is.
She goes, now, here's the first book you're going to finish. She hands a book to Tammy, and she goes, Congo by Michael Crichton. It's Crichton. But
Michael Crichton, yeah.
She goes, this is the kind of book people read on planes.
Michael Crichton is actually, for those of you who don't know, he's the guy who did Jurassic Park, Andromeda Strain, Congo.
Yep, a lot of stuff.
He's a really good writer.
Great writer.
Really good writer.
Great writer.
I like his books.
Very rich man. I don't know if he's still alive. Is he still alive?
I'm not sure either. Yeah. But mentioning Dwight Yoakam, he's going to be here.
I saw that.
You know, do you have any contacts with the people that are setting that up?
I don't, but it's a free concert. Outside.
It would be great to get him to come do an episode. Since because he's a voice actor. Of course, he did Lane Pratley. So he has that little story, if anything, to tell about it. That would be cool to have Dwight Yoakam tell us.
And I just want him.
Sling Blade is like
that's what I was
one
say.
Of my all-time
favorite
movies.
I want him to talk to me like he talks to Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah,
Sling
I do
Blade.
Too, yeah.
What are you doing, you retard? Yeah, that's what I want. I want that. All right, so we're at Page Turner's. She says, here's a book you're going to read. She goes, oh, this is the kind of book people read on planes. They pass by a lingerie store in the mall.
Yep.
And she goes, now that would look hot on you, talking to Peggy. Oh, no, I could never wear something that bold. She goes, why not? You sure got the legs. You ought to show them off. Peggy, which if there's anybody in this show that it sounds odd saying this, it's her. She goes, oh, that dress is pretty rad.
Rad. She uses rad a lot.
That does not fit you, Peg.
Do prostitutes use the word rad a lot?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I've never interacted with
them. From all your GTA time, you don't know if they use rad a lot.
Nah, they didn't say rad. Yeah. I never heard them say rad on Grand Theft Auto.
They didn't say much because people kept punching them.
Well, that's what you would do get in the car.
It's bad.
They would do the little squeaky car sex scene thing, and then she would get out. Uh-huh. And then if you hopped out and you killed her, you could get your money back plus like a little bit of extra.
What
so
a great thing to teach!
It was
those
a cheap
children.
Way to like double your money.
Tammy looks at her. Tammy looks
Please,
at her.
Please, I just want to do a disclaimer. I do not condone killing hookers for money.
No.
Please don't do that.
God, no. Not even for no money either. Yeah. I don't condone killing them for no money.
Chantel said that also Rad Thibodeau is a client. Like, we'll see Rad. You see him kind of coming and going.
Rad Thibodeau. Tammy says, we'll hit the makeup counter, and when I'm through with you, believe me, honey, you're going to be stopping cars. And they go into the store, and Peggy's like, oh, yeah. You know, I got to admit, I did not realize that this was about hoes, right? Even though it says ho yeah.
When I first
saw the title, I thought, oh, this is a Peggy-centric episode. Which
if our listeners don't know, which a lot of you do because some of you are their old audience, there is the Ho Yeah podcast.
Oh, yeah.
They had their podcast. Shout out to them.
Yeah, I would really love to talk to them if they've got.
I tried. I reached
time.
Out to them,
really
and
cool.
When we first started to do this, I'd reached out to them and asked them if they would. I wanted them on to kind of pass the torch, kind of thing, because they were a really, really good podcast. And I think I don't want to toot my own horn, but all of the King of the Hill podcasts I've listened to outside of theirs doesn't have a lot of. Like intrinsic value. There's nothing that brings me back to it, making me want to go back to listen to it. But theirs was kind of funny.
It seems like they go through the episodes so fast.
Yeah, some people do.
You know?
That one guy that I reached out to and talked to, they were doing two episodes a week of King of the Hill.
It's nuts.
Like we do one a week. They were doing two a week. Uh-huh. And he was they started close around to the same time as us, and they're done already. And we won't be done for another 5 years.
Yeah, it wasn't even that long of an episode either. But here's a thought I had the other day. I think we should contact any and all King of the Hill, Family Guy, Simpsons, any of that animation world. Anybody who's got a podcast out there that deals with this same sort of adult animated show.
Yeah.
If you'll contact us, I would love to do feed drops or feed swaps. So basically, yeah. I'll take an episode of yours, drop it in our feed. You can take an episode of ours, drop it in your feed. I think it'd be a cool way for people to get exposed to different shows.
Yeah. Well, that's what Chantel says here. She says she's heard of Ho Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Haven't heard anything of them since they did a little thing when Johnny Hardwick passed away. I don't know if you've heard it yet or not, Chantel, but we actually have an interview that if you go back
Hill
and you look. No, not the Hill Kings.
Well, we got that.
But I'm talking about the we have a episode with one of Johnny Hardwick's best friends. And he talks to us about Johnny
right
and stuff
after
a little bit.
Death.
It was like right after.
It was 3 or 4 days. I mean, it wasn't long.
He died on Friday, and we talked to the guy on a Sunday.
Yeah.
We talked to him that Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool interview.
Shout
out to him.
Though,
he was a real good guy.
Yeah,
I still talk to him from time to time. He's a really cool guy. But yeah, that's on there if you want to check that out, if you didn't know we had that. But she said that what she likes about ours is the thoroughness and how we go through the whole script.
I appreciate that.
She says nobody is doing the script, which it takes a lot of work.
It does.
It's quite a bit of work.
A lot of notes.
But we like it.
But we've gotten it kind of down to a science at this point, so
it's
not too bad. All right, so now we're at the Hill House. Cotton is coming in, which Cotton just pops up for some reason. You know, last I knew he was in Houston, right? But
yeah.
He just pops up.
Yeah.
Hank is in the kitchen reading the paper. He walks in. He goes, "Hey, Dad." Cotton says, "Them keys to my Cadillac car. Remember, under no circumstances is the wife allowed in my Cadillac car unless she's a bag in the trunk." Jesus.
Whoa.
Hank says, "Yeah, I know.
Have
fun at the swap meet." I like how it doesn't even faze Hank at this point that he's talking about killing his wife and putting in a bag in the back of his Cadillac car. Cotton says, "I hope you clean the bed liner in your truck. I don't want no dirt getting on Hitler's canoe." Hitler's canoe. You hear the doorbell ding. You hear Tammy comes into the kitchen. He goes, "Hank, would you mind seeing if that's for me? I'm not ready yet." Hank gets up. He goes to the door. He opens the door. And he goes, "Well, I'll be god dang. Do I know you?" He goes to the door. And then it's just Tammy and Cotton left in the kitchen. He goes, "Well, I'll be god dang. Do I know you?" She goes, "I don't think so." He goes,
"Yeah, if she's familiar to him, something a little iffy."
She goes, "You ever work in Houston? No. Vegas? No. Tijuana? No. Reno? No." He's just going through the whole
That's
list.
Funny.
So, to my brain, this means that Cotton has probably picked up hookers in every one of those places.
I imagine imagine he has, and you know what? It wouldn't be far-fetched of an idea to believe.
Oh, no, not at all, especially since he took the boys to become men at the Hotel Arlen.
And the next guy he talks about when he says, "Hey, Mr. Burton,"
mm-hmm.
is Miles Burton, who was Cotton's manager when he was a bathroom attendant.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks again, Artie. That's some of the Artie facts.
So Hank opens the door, and it's Mr. Burton there, and he's spraying Banaka? Wasn't it Banaka?
Something like that.
Yeah, the breath spray. He goes, "Hey, Mr. Burton, is everything okay with your tanks? I safety checked them this afternoon." He goes, "Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, the tanks are fine. I'm just here for, Tammy. We have a date." He goes, "Oh, well, hold on. I'll go get her." Cotton is still quizzing her in the kitchen. "The Philippines? No. Bangkok?" She goes, "I think I would have remembered you." I think that's a safe bet. He says, "Don't be so sure, sweet cheeks. I've been known to give girl amnesia." Like
amnesia.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I can imagine him even being young saying that to a girl. I give these girls out here amnesia. That's kind
of, Hank.
That's out of there.
Hank comes back in. And he says, "Dad, please don't bring back another Japanese skull. It's just going to gather dust." So Cotton leaves. So now they've swapped, right? So he's got Cotton's Cadillac car, and Cotton has Hank's truck because he's going to get Hitler's canoe. He says, "Tammy, Miles Burton's at the door. He says he's got a date with you. What's that about?" She goes, "Oh, Hank, you introduced us." He goes, "But I thought you were going out with Lane Prattley tonight." She goes, "I am, but after my date with Miles." Shit, man, how many times they got to hit you in the head with this? He says, "Oh, well, I see. Nothing wrong with having lots of different suitors. That's the way dating used to be back in my mom's day." And he just kind of looks up into the, like, he's like, "Oh, I'm so proud of my mom and how she dated all these guys." I didn't really understand that. She says, She brings over a present and hands it to Hank. It's a big purple box with a bow on it. She goes, this is a little present for you because you are so rad. And this is next week's rent in advance. Gives him some cash. Hank's like, oh, you are one class act. I'll tell you what. Just because she's paying you, Hank, is that what it is?
It's rent. Come on, you're giving Hank rent. He's going to love you.
She says, and I have one more surprise for y'all. Peggy, you ready? And you hear her say, as always, from the other room, presenting the new, improved Peggy Hill. She comes out. She got a short skirt,
everything.
Low cut top, high heels.
Sultry.
She is obviously decked out by Tammy.
Yeah.
And she says.
She almost made Peggy fuckable. Almost.
Almost. Yeah, but then Peggy would open her mouth.
Well, then you look down and you see she's got skis for feet.
That's true. Well,
how could you play footsie with a woman with feet bigger than you?
In the library, there's a guy who likes that.
Maybe.
She sees Hank's face, and he's just like aghast, you know. He's like, oh. She goes, whoa, what, you don't like it? He goes, oh, yeah, I do. You look hot. I mean, that's what he says it. You look hot. She goes, what? And then here you go. Unfuckability. Peggy goes, well, that's true. Yeah, well, okay, there it goes. Just right down.
She's got to ruin it, doesn't left, she? She's left. Always got to ruin it.
Tammy leaves before she leaves. She goes,
you know,
okay.
She could have just said, oh, am I? And left it at that. Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, she has zero of that, though.
Zero tact.
Tammy says, okay, everybody, I got to fly. Peace out. Hank, he goes, I wonder what she got me. And he's opening up that gift. He unwraps it. It's a solid white hat.
It's a solid white felt hat,
cheetah band around it, cheetah print band, and a big old feather. It's obviously a pimp hat. So what I don't – here's the thing I don't get. Is she saying that Hank is her pimp now? I mean, is that – or is this the,
I don't know.
The only
is she crowning
she
him?
Knows?
Is she crowning him?
That's what I'm
pimp?
Saying.
You
yeah.
are the
That's
king
what it feels
pimp.
Like. Yeah.
They spelt hot, H-O-T. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Chantel. It should have been – H-A-W-T, hot, but it
well,
wasn't.
Well, on my notes, it's three H's, O-O-T. So that's what
okay,
I,
there you go. Mike's just, notes. Hey, Arthur myself. Just did it, too. Yeah. He posted three H's. Hot. Yeah, that's funny.
That's right, yeah. So he pulls the hat out, puts it on. He goes, oh, I kind of like it. He looks in the mirror, and they're both standing there kind of looking at each other. He's got his big pimp hat on. Peggy is dressed up like a hooker. And she goes, well, we look like a couple of movie stars. Hank says, we sure do, baby. I mean, just that. I love the inflection he gives, baby. We sure do, baby. You look hot.
It reminds me of what's his name? I lost it. Oh, Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
Hot.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Johnny Bravo. Man, I hadn't seen him forever.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're in the alley with all four guys. Hank is just standing there in his pimp hat, which is nuts. He's like, "Yep." Everybody said, "Yep, yep." And then Dale, all right, if no one's going to say it to you, Hank, I'll say it. I am jealous of that hat. Bill's like, oh, me too. And then Boomhauer's like, yeah, man, that dang old thing is a smooth little hat, man. He goes, yeah, I'll tell you, it is pretty sporty. I got to wear it around to break in the felt. And Bill says, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Hank, but do you think I'd have a shot with Tammy? Hank says, look, Bill, you're a great guy, but I've set her up with some of the most prominent men in Ireland, and none of them have been good enough for her to date exclusively. And you see Tammy in the background getting into a minivan with some other guy. Hank says, she's very selective. Well, no, she's not, Hank. And Hank is just, it's funny.
Well, yeah, she is very selective. She selects so many of them. She's extremely selective.
But he says she's very selective, and then it goes over to Hank, and he's just counting out money. He's just like counting this money in his hand with his pimp hat on.
Flipping back 20s.
It's not a slow transition into pimp. It's
you know what it reminds
quick.
Me of? There was a video. There's a rapper called Lil Boosie from Louisiana. Yep. And one of the earliest viral videos from any rapper or anything like that on the internet was Lil Boosie with a wad of hundreds.
Yeah.
And he's just going like that on the floor, and he says, if you find a 50, I'm a pussy. If you find a 50, I'm a pussy. That's what it reminds me of.
What I love are the videos where they have the stack of cash, and they're using it as a phone.
Yeah, I like those too. Sexy Red, she's really big on doing that.
Really stupid. All right, so Hank is counting out cash. Now we've got Hank driving his Cadillac car with a hat on. So he is really starting to take on the pimp look.
Yeah, he's slick right now.
Because he's got Cotton's Cadillac car, and he's got his white hat on.
He's moving very slick around Arlen right now with wads of cash.
He pulls up to a light and stops. He looks over. He sees Reverend Stroop in her car. He, like, touches his hat and tips it to her, goes, Reverend Stroop. She goes, Hank?
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Hank. Pimping ain't easy, Reverend Stroop, but it sure is fun.
He goes from the light. And over on his left-hand side, he sees Tammy arguing with some dude on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Right?
And you hear, give me the money. He goes, come here. Donald, let go of me. Hey, come on. I mean it. So she's obviously having trouble with Donald as a John.
Yeah, she's getting kind of like a little roughhouse situation going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
Remember, guys,
always pay your hookers. Don't try to run off because that's called payment.
You're working for tips, gentlemen.
It's called theft of services.
That's right. Also, by the way, I heard this. I don't even remember where I heard it the other day. But they were like, you know, maybe it was you that said it.
What's up?
If you deal drugs, if you're a prostitute, anything, declare the money. Because that's how they always get
you.
Yeah,
with the IRS,
they always
get
you.
Well, that's how they got Al Capone and all those guys, is they made all that money off of illegal alcohol sales.
They just didn't pay taxes.
And they didn't pay taxes on any of it, and they got it for racketeering. And then he ended up dying in prison of neurosyphilis because it got to his brain.
Yeah.
And they said that he had the mentality of a 12-year-old by the time he died.
I don't doubt that at all.
Yeah, so pay your taxes or you'll die in prison of syphilis.
So Hank just over to the side, parks the car, gets out, jumps, because the last thing Hank wants to see is any woman getting roughed up. You know, I mean, that is, he'll get in front of any of that.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
He goes, hey, don't you ever lay your hands on a lady. And he kind of grabs the guy, and he goes, you understand? Donald, the John, says, okay, you're ripping a jacket. He goes, now, what's the problem here? Tammy says, this hose bag owes me money, hose bag. Hank says, give her the money, friend. I'm not going to ask you twice. The guy kind of, he goes, okay, but she, and then Hank says, you mess with her, you mess with me. Then the guy looks at his hat, looks at the Cadillac, looks at Hank's face and how mad he is, and he goes, now hand over the money. Oh, all right. He gives Tammy the cash and just runs off. He goes, now beat it. And Tammy comes up to Hank. She goes, Hank, man, you are the bomb. So obviously he's her protector at this point, right?
Yeah, he is. Well, her pimp, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a more unintentional pimp.
No.
That's what Hank is. He's not the Mac Daddy of Arlen.
Well,
he's the,
not until in a few minutes, but yeah,
he's
the, sure.
He's an unintentional pimp.
So, now we're at the Arlen Public Library. The Peggy and Tammy are walking through it, and they're both dressed like hookers. Everybody's staring at them. And Peggy says, well, from the reaction we're getting, I guess they haven't had two pretty women in this library for a while.
They haven't had hookers in the library.
That's right. They pass these two guys, and one of the guys is wearing the symbol for pie.com shirt, which is weird to me. Not sure why that's a thing. He looks at his other buddy, and he goes, dude, check it out. Check out the feet on that one on the left. he goes, it's got to be a guy. The other guy says, but there's no Adam's apple. He goes, well, they can fix that. And then the second guy goes, I've been with worse. I
mean, whoa.
All right.
That's
so
actually a funny exchange.
It is a very funny exchange. You hear from off frame, Mrs. Hill, is that you? And she goes, oh, well, hello, Mike. And up comes Mike and his mother. And she says, oh, you must be Mrs. Soto. And again, remember, Peggy is dressed like a hooker at the moment, right? She goes, hello, I am Peggy Hill, Mike's teacher.
It's Johnny Hardwick is Mike Soto.
Mike Soto, yeah. Mike Soto's mom says, you're a teacher? Why are you dressed like that? And then Tammy pipes up and says, what? Is there a dress code for teachers now? Both of them just laugh their head off. Mike and his mom walk off. And she goes, some chicks just hate it when other chicks look hotter. And Peggy says, story of my life.
Yeah, I forgot who this Mike guy was. This Mike guy is the one that Bobby had to compete for the Longhorn thing from.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was also in Dale Be Not Proud, where Bobby takes his job for doing the morning announcements.
Mm.
So we've seen him twice. Yeah, thanks for that, Chantel. See, she remembers more than I do.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, so now we're back at the Hill House. We're outside. Hank is washing the Cadillac car with the spray hose. He's still wearing his hat. a larger, older, fancier white and gold Cadillac pull up.
Yep.
And you start hearing it.
Yeah.
Hank looks at him and says, can I help you? And then this pimp gets out of this car. And when I say a pimp, you're talking fur coat, cane, hat, gold, gold teeth, rings, purple shades, the whole thing. I mean, he is obviously a pimp. Cape. He's got a cape on.
Yeah.
He goes, allow me to introduce myself. Alabaster Jones, the main Mac Daddy of Oklahoma City. Miss Tammy Duvall works for me. I am her manager. And, of course, this is Snoop Dogg. So I think I'm allowed to do that that voice.
because
it's Snoop Dogg. Hank says, well, she works for me now. I am her manager. Well, technically assistant manager. He goes, it ain't like that, G. I am her pimp. And he sees the gold teeth and the rings and stuff. He goes, pimp? You must have her confused with somebody else. The Tammy Duvall I know works at Strickland Propane. He says, man, don't be giving me no nut roll. I don't know what that means.
I ain't no chili pimp.
I ain't no chili pimp.
I don't know what that means either.
I got the wire on the propane scam you're working. You've been tricking Tammy out all over town, driving around in your caddy, shaking J's down for bills. Pretty sweet little operation you got going on for a small town player. Hank has a moment where all of the scenes of everything that's happened flash before his eyes. And he says, son of a...
Chantel said this is a full-blown blaxploitation pimp.
Which
it reminds me of Curtis Blow.
Oh, yeah.
Curtis Mayfield or whatever and stuff like that. It's like Bishop the Don Juan. That's what it is, like that that traditional what they put on the Hollywood,
pimp.
Like the 70s Hollywood movies.
Stereotypical pimp.
Chantel said that you did a really good job with the with the pimp voice. Mike's a pimp in a former life. He just doesn't want us to know that.
Yeah, I pimped out a lot of stuff. All right, and so that takes us to the second commercial break. We will take that, and we'll be right back.
Be right back.
Ned Hillsdale, a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed ex-cop, turned private detective in the city of Chicago. He lives dangerously, loves intensely, and drinks harder than anyone. The very things that got him kicked off the force now make him the city's best detective. Set against the low rumble of sad jazz and the hum of underground crime, Ned Hillsdale, Private Detective, is available anywhere you get your podcasts and at roguemedianetwork.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Tony, and some call me Big T.
And I'm Carrie, and we have some exciting news. We have a podcast.
Absolutely, it's called My Husband is a Hunk of Hunk of Burning Love.
No.
And we'll be discussing some different sex positions overweight couples can easily perform, correct?
I don't think so. It's called I Married an Idiot.
I know, I'm just kidding.
We'll try to stay on task, focus. Did you take your Adderall today?
Really? You're going to ask me that? Are you insinuating something?
Never mind. You may be wondering why we're doing this. We have been together for 36 years.
36 short, long
years.
Freaking years. But we must be doing something right, right?
Well, we must be. But this is where the fun starts.
And you know me, I love having fun. Fun is the best thing to have.
Yes, it is. On our show, we're going to be discussing a wide variety of topics. And I'll give you my opinion, and you'll give your opinion. So please, do not embarrass me.
I'm not going to embarrass you. I told you 1,000 times, but you also need to learn to get some thicker skin if you're going to be doing this. And don't take everything so damn personal.
No, but you get personal.
Anyway, it's up to you, not you, Carrie, but the podcastee listeners.
The audience.
The audience to decide which one of us is the idiot.
It's going to be pretty obvious, trust me.
Absolutely, totally obvious. Was that a shot?
Of course not.
Okay, good. Just checking. So, you know, everybody has an opinion. It's like my daddy always said.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Well, it's true. An opinion is like an ass. Everyone has one, and some are bigger than others, or it went something like that.
Stop. Would you be nice? See what I mean? Tell them where we can be found.
Anywhere you get your podcast or roguemedianetwork.com. Just look up I Married an Idiot. Sit back, relax, and give us a try. I promise you it would be entertaining. And if you want to contact us, you can shoot us an email. Well, I don't seem to have the email at the moment.
No.
Well, This is not good. I don't seem to have that at the moment, but we'll let you know, so stay tuned, and I promise you we'll let you know.
Sorry. Really?
Well.
But yes, eventually we'd love to hear your feedback. You can give us suggestions on what topic to cover, comment on our show or an episode, or just drop us a line to say hello.
Just remember, any negative feedback should be directed toward Carrie, and all positive feedback should go to me.
Wrong again.
Hey, babe, look, we got to go. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, just remember to tune in. It's going to be fun. And thanks for giving us a try.
Absolutely. Until next time, peace out. God dang.
I thought it went pretty good.
That went well, not.
I thought it went okay.
Why didn't you tell me the email? Do we even have an email?
You said you were getting the email.
I did not. When did I say that?
You're such an idiot.
Oh, the hell with it.
All right, and we are back. And I will tell you, during that little break, Mason came in and said another instance of a guy becoming a pimp and not really knowing it is in The Other Guys.
Which
definitely happened. Hank is there, and he's like, oh, I can't believe it. And then Chili the pimp here says, believe it, homie, she's my hoe. And I better have my hoe in my car ready to go back to my hood in 1 hour, or you going to be my hoe. You dig?
Yeah, dig. Yeah, you going to be my hoe.
He flaps his purple cape, like,
whips it around. Yeah.
He gets in his car, and he drives off. Now, the three guys, Dale, Boomhauer, and Bill, they're all standing behind the fence, and they've seen mm-hmm. this entire interaction. Dale says, yeah, bet it seemed like the sweet life at first. Trick out a couple of ladies, make some spare scratch, but you never see the dark side until those silk sheets from a noose around your neck.
What? Shut up, Dale.
Shut up, Dale. I got to find Tammy. He takes off his pimp hat, and he drives off in the Cadillac car, and Bill could so easily be such a nice guy, but he's also a friggin' creep a lot of the times. And he goes, hey, bring me back a redhead. What the fuck?
Whatever
that
means.
What are you doing, Bill? All right, we're back at the Arlen Public Library. Hank comes in, and he is pissed. He sees the two girls studying.
Oh, I don't think he's this is one of those top points where you don't see it. It's hard to see him any madder than he is right now.
Oh, yeah.
Hank hates being deceived.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
He hates deception so much.
He sees Tammy, and he goes, you, Alabaster came by my house. She goes, oh, dang. Peggy goes, who is Alabaster? He goes, Tammy's pimp. She is a prostitute. And he's just like hushed tones, you know. Yeah. And Peggy.
Hank, that is a terrible thing to say.
Hank, that's a terrible thing. Why would you even think that? And then he gets loud. He goes, because Tammy is a hooker. And Peggy goes, is this true? And, of course, Tammy's got to come clean. She's like, Peggy, I am so sorry. I'm totally sorry. Hank says, you, get your hooker stuff out of my house. And then Hank leaves. Peggy is completely ashamed, and she kind of covers herself up with a big book and starts inching her way out because she realizes.
She realizes that she's been hoed up. Mm-hmm. They done slutted Peggy out.
As she's trying to get out of the library, you hear, goodbye, Mrs. Hill, from Mike Soto. She goes, bye, Mike. See you at school. All right, so now we're driving the Cadillac car home. We got Tammy in the back seat, Peggy in the front seat, or in the passenger seat. Hank's driving. Peggy says, well, did you really even want to get your GED, or was that another lie? Tammy says, no, I wanted to go straight so bad, but I was making janky-ass pay at Strickland, and I was never going to save enough money to move out of your place, and I fell back into the life. And her beeper goes off. She just kind of does it, puts it down. She goes, but I'm almost finished with Congo. She goes, I'm up to the part where they shoot the super monkeys with the ray gun.
Yeah.
Peggy kind of, it hits her, and she says, you're actually reading it. And Hank says, Tammy, you compromised the sanctity of my propane route. Now I have to look at that pervert Lane Prattley in the eye, and he thinks I'm a pimp.
Yeah.
Tammy says, dude, nobody thinks you're a pimp. But if you were a pimp, you'd be the coolest, nicest, most awesome pimp there ever was. And then a car rams them from the back as they're driving.
Yeah.
Alabaster in his giant car.
A big Cadillac, too.
Uh-huh. Hank looks back in the rearview mirror, and he's like, what the? Alabaster. And then that a car chase is about to happen.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We're about to get – I'm surprised there wasn't a shootout.
Oh, yeah. Peggy's like, Hank, quick, turn there. And Alabaster turns real fast. When they turn, his hubcap comes off and goes flying. He goes, oh, damn. I'm on your ass, man. He jumps and bumps, and I mean, they are going all through the streets as fast as they can. They come up to a stoplight, and it's starting to turn red. It goes to yellow, and Hank slows down. He's like, all right, hang on. This is going to get hairy. Peggy looks at him and goes, what are you doing? She's like, you know, you just got to keep going. Yeah. Hank says, getting him just where I want him. And the light turns yellow, then it turns red, and he peels out as fast as he can. He's like, oh, God. You know, he's like, oh, I left him in the dirt, you know?
Left him.
And then Alabaster drives through the red light.
Blast through, yeah.
And Hank's like, what? He ran a red. You can't do that. The car hits him from behind again. He goes, all right, I'll lose him in the alley. Tammy says, that's it, Hank. Pull over. Let me out. Peggy says, Tammy, no. She says, this isn't your problem. You dudes have already done more for me than anyone ever has. I'm going to go back to OKC with Alabaster. They pull up to the Hill House. Alabaster pulls up right behind them. Peggy looks at Hank, and she says, Hank, please don't let her go. Granted, she's a prostitute. She did use you as something of a pimp, but we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Hank starts to get out of the car. He goes, all right, you stay here. And he keeps Tammy in the back seat by not letting her push the seat up and get out, you know. She goes, Hank, don't. Alabaster's a little guy, but he'll mess you up. Love this line. This is my favorite line of the entire show.
Yeah.
Hank says, no offense, but he's from Oklahoma. Peggy, give me that hat.
I really think Hank would have whooped his ass anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Hank's a man's man, so I feel like he could probably scrap.
Hank's got that farmer strength. You know, like, he doesn't look like he would be super strong.
But throw this bale dude hay over his shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got everyday strength.
Honestly, anybody that can move a bale of hay is a pretty badass dude. Because them things are, like, almost 1,000 pounds, if not more.
So Hank puts the hat back on, and I just wrote pimp mode Hank down in my notes here. Because he does. He goes right into pimp mode.
Yeah.
He goes walking up to Alabaster. He goes, all right, man, get out of that jalopy, and let's talk some business. So, you ready to give me my hoe back? He goes, she's not going anywhere, chump. I am a fair businessman, so here's all the money she's given me so far. And he tosses him a big wad of cash. He goes, man, this feels a little light. You jacking me? He goes, I am the Mac Daddy of Heimlich County. I play it straight up, yo. You get the hell out of my hood. And he's poking at him, and he goes, she's my hoe now.
My hoe now, man.
Alabaster just looks at him and goes, all right, man, you can have her. I got a stable of hoes waiting for me in the OKC. Yo, what do you want for that Jasper brunette? He's pointing at
that
Peggy.
That is my wife.
He goes, that's my wife. He goes, man, that's the biggest mistake a pimp could make, marrying one of his hoes. He gets in the car and leaves. Tammy gets out. She comes up. Hank hugs him real hard. And they turn around, and Bill and Boomhauer and Dale are just standing there with their mouths just wide open.
Just wide open.
Oh, my God, what just happened? And Hank says, what are you looking at? Dale says, please, Hank, don't turn me out. I'm no good. Ask anyone. Ask my wife. Don't turn me out.
He's going to pimp Dale out.
And Hank says, no, Dale, we're all going straight. From now on, the only woman I'm pimping is Sweet Lady Propane, and I'm tricking her out all over this town. And that's it. They all join arms and go inside.
There you go.
And there you get the credits. Now, the one thing I do love about these credits is you get a porno theme or a porno version of the King of the Hill theme. I didn't realize it was the King of the Hill theme until I sat through
it. And they just put the beat on the top of it. Yeah.
You get all the credits, and at the very end, you hear Hank go, Alabaster!
Alabaster.
And that is it, man.
And that's it. So
season 5, episode 13, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Not very many to go. I think this season has...
It's good. That was a great episode, though. Really
20,
good.
20 even. That so is, we're almost there, yeah.
That
like
episode is one of those that you don't really...
Seven out.
There doesn't really need to be any continuity to it. You know, I mean, you as long as you know the characters, you're done. You could watch
this. It's a good, funny episode.
Yeah.
Everybody, I've been going live on Instagram.
Everybody.
With these episodes while we record them. And if you want to come hang out with us and see them live as we record them, I'm going to continue to do this on Instagram. We'll be there live for that. So shout out to everybody that hung out with us today. Hero to Millions. I am Chantel.
Hero to Millions.
Arthur, he came and hung out.
Marty, Chantel, he wrote a million.
Abel Salazar, St. Angeles, the candle, the lady that says the candles.
Yeah.
She was hanging out with us.
There were some others. If I forgot you, I appreciate everybody for hanging out with us.
You guys do not know how much we appreciate you. I mean, I know we say it a lot, but
yeah, but we do.
It is a big freaking deal for you guys to follow this show, and we really, really appreciate it. You guys are the best.
Hero to Millions is the Waco Mailman. This is right here. We keep this on the desk with us here, bud.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate any of that kind of stuff, man.
Well, we appreciate you too, Chantel. She said that even though she's hung out with us 2 weeks in a row now, she still listens to the podcast even after watching it with us.
Oh,
so,
that's fantastic.
Super fan.
Thank
we love
you, guys.
It.
We really appreciate it. Hey, let me just say one thing real quick. If anybody is out there and feeling supportive, please go over to the Patreon.
Yeah, please do that.
It's like $3 a month. You just kind of help us out, keep the lights on and things like that. Also, on Spotify now, the video will start showing up not only on YouTube but in Spotify, in the Spotify app.
Yep. So if you want to listen to us on Spotify and watch the video, that's cool too.
It's all here.
We're the number one podcast other than sports right now on the network.
We're the number one podcast in this room.
In this room for sure, if not anywhere else. We are the number one King of the Hill podcast in the world. And I stand on that, whether we are or not. We are in my heart. I believe we are.
In your heart.
And I listen to all of them. So if anybody's doing a King of the Hill podcast, I'm watching you.
All right. So, and again, my offer stands. If anybody wants to do feed swaps or promo swaps,
swaps,
just let us know. We're totally open to something like that. We just want to grow, and we want our fans and the people that listen to us to get more and more content. So anything that makes them happy,
whatever you want us to do, like we're open to fan suggestions for content. If you want to see us eat like beef jerky and discuss beef jerky,
I don't think we'll do that.
We won't. I mean, I would. I'll eat beef jerky if they'll send it to us. I'll talk
Rusty
about
will
it.
Rusty will eat your beef jerky. All right, you want to tell them where they can find us?
Yeah, you can find us at BWAAAKOTH.com. You could also find us at YouTube.com/BWAAAKOTH, and you could also email us at BWAAAKOTH@gmail.com.
Are there people still live, or did you end it?
There's people still live.
Okay, here's what I want to do then.
Okay.
For your live thing, turn the phone around real quick. So I've got a couple of choices here for you guys, right? Here's how Simpsons and King of the Park Hill writers responded to South Park's Anti-Family Guy episode. We can cover that for Friday. Or we can cover, is Beavis and Butthead based in Texas? Mike Judge hints at it. So let us know real quick which one you'd like to hear, because we do the Friday episodes right after the Monday ones. And I'm happy to cover either one of those.
Hey, Hero to Millions, do you know how to make Discords? I mean, you could be the steward of the Bois King of the Hill Discord. Beavis, so the Beavis.
If you start a Discord, just let us know, and we will.
I got to restart it.
Well,
it's so dumb because it only lets you record an hour.
Let's say it this way. If you want to start a Discord and you want to send us the stuff on it, we'll be in it while we do episodes. Yeah. That'd be great. We'd love it. Okay, so we got one vote for Beavis, so I guess we'll go with that one for this time. Well, guys, hey, it was a pleasure doing the show for you once again. We appreciate all of you being here, and we'll see you again on Friday.
Weema. Tanya.
Wimitanya.
Wimitanya.
There you go.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.